Weekdays, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
Another Glory Days beckons. Hello, everybody.
Another weekend. There we go. Now we're looking at you.
And what a weekend, by all accounts. Now, I say that knowing that I won't be involved in any of it. That's the... I can say that. You know, I love... I do enjoy a little bit of that, a bit of a sort of observing from afar, you know. So what a great weekend. And, you know, everything's going on. Longitude's going on. Taylor Swift's going on. There's that going on over there. Everything's going on. Wow, what a great weekend. Which one are you going to, Jim? None of it.
Oh, I'm going to... I'll be a Pride. I'll be out of Pride, wiggling away, but you're dead right. Normally, I would feel completely as ease in my exclusion of all these events. Yeah. It's great.
But you know, I like doing the, you know, obviously as part of the radio thing, you do get to do that, you know. Oh, look, hey, get out there and enjoy it. Whatever you do this weekend, enjoy it. Great, go for it. And what about yourself, Jim? What are you... I won't be doing
anything. Oh, fuck all. Absolutely. No, I don't want to do anything. I hate things. I don't like things. Or just doing things I know I have all, you know, things I have previous experience in.
Yeah.
You know those things. What are you going to do on Friday? I'm going to get the number 9 from the Smelly River restaurant. Because that's what I do. Okay?
Yeah, it's my regular Friday thing.
I should do that every Friday. Bruce Songsteen is playing and it's across the road from you.
Yeah.
I couldn't give a shit about Bruce Songsteen. If it was Thursday now, I've nothing on. But I get me number 9 on a Friday. And that's the way it is. That's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, that there's great joy in it. It used to be fear of missing out. Although with me, it never was fear of missing out. It used to be just... Yeah, it's always actually been
just
a fear.
A
fear of being included.
But also, the other thing,
to do shit.
The thing about it is, like, you know the way people kind of... would see that as boring, or if you do the same things, routine thing.
Oh yeah,
so they see routine.
Boring.
See routine as boring, and it's gas, right? So they'll give you a hard time about routine or whatever. But the amount of stuff in, you know, for example, say food, right? If you say to somebody, if somebody was going on a diet, and you, oh no, because the same old, but the gas thing about it is when they're not on a diet, they probably eat from the same 4 takeaways and have the same meal from each of them. Years on end.
Oh, when they get when they're together with their husband, they've the same 3 moves.
Yeah,
for the last 30 years.
Exactly.
And they drink the same drink every time they go out. You know,
exactly.
They wear the same 5 things. They, you know, like you said, they have 4 dinners. They make 7 times a week.
Yeah.
All these things.
And they go on holiday to probably the same place.
Oh, we know we've a lovely spot there. We meet O'Reilly's and we all get lamped over together. We get the same stuff in the same shop that's over there.
Yeah.
And then you say, no, I'm not going out tonight. You go, Joy, you're very boring.
Yeah.
You never do anything. You're like, I do things. Just so
you're
stuck
in a rut, you are.
Yeah.
Just going to that same pub all the time.
I mean, you think you're adventurous, Sharon. You're not, you know. Like,
that is true. People have a fierce, overinflated kind of opinion of their...
All big time.
You know, because that's... especially with the food thing. That is... you get people who'll say to you, oh, you sure you can't be just eating chicken or something, or you can't... You know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But if you were to analyse their diet, they'd probably literally have it on the same day.
The same day, yeah. Tuesday is meatballs. Wednesday... Wednesday is nuggets and waffles.
Yeah, and obviously fish and chips on Friday. That goes without saying. Everybody in the world does that.
And then on the Saturday, I don't care what I eat. Literally don't care. It's either pizza or Chinese. I don't care. You're like, okay, yeah.
I could eat anything at all.
Anything, could be anything.
Yeah, sometimes it's chicken balls, curry sauce and chips. Sometimes it's chicken balls, curry sauce, chips and rice.
Yeah, one night I even just had toast, didn't even eat a dinner. Whoa, spontaneous over there. What are you going to do with that? Yeah, it's the truth though, isn't it? Yeah. There's very few really spontaneous.
And we all have a bit of it in us, right? We all have a bit of the idea of kind of thinking that we want, you know, new things in our lives.
But gradually time.
Yeah.
I don't want a sudden burst of new.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I want to gradually over time get something new. After much research on the internet.
Plus, I also want to do it on my own terms.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
if I
decide to do something new, you know, whatever, at my time, you know, when it suits me, not when you turn around and go, come here, why don't we go to... No, that's not going to work.
I'm never going to want... I don't even want to hear the end of the sentence.
Yeah.
Come here, why don't we... No.
Yeah, I'll stop you there.
No. You don't even know what I'm going to say. I know the answer is no.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know why? your enthusiasm is annoying me. That's a part of it as well.
Yeah.
You know, someone comes up to me and goes, come here, have you ever done this? And like, that could be good. Like, and now I'm part of the plan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking about it.
And would you be doing this when you go there? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Suddenly I'm in a conversation. Then, maybe, I'm part of the plan. Someone coming in saying, do you know what we should do tonight? No.
Yeah.
You've already planned it. And it doesn't even matter if I'm there or not. It could be you could take a blow-up doll and burn the ears off it, and you'd be there for 3 hours before you'd know it's not me. If it was wearing my T-shirt.
Yeah. The only time you ever fall in with somebody else's plan is when they turn around to say to you, one for the road. Go on then.
Oh, go on then, you bastards. You know that? I love that. I love that Irish thing where someone gives you something you want.
Yeah.
And you abuse them for it.
Yeah.
Right, I'm out anyway. Ah, I have one more. Well, go on, I'll buy it for you. Oh, go on, you bastards. Jesus, I was going to go home and all. And you, wank. Oh,
yeah. Are you at the buying that for me? Do you better get me another point? Yeah. Oh, fuck you.
And what you do that for, you fucking idiot? Oh, gee, now I have to stay and have more crack.
Yeah.
You know, I don't worry about his grands, you know. Yeah. That happens in life.
All it's amazing.
Someone calls you into your house, you know, just so, oh, there you go. You didn't have to do that, you fucking tick. What you do that for? Take that back, you fucking idiot, you. Like, no, I got it for you.
Yeah.
I don't even drink whiskey. Ah, well, I'll take it then. Jeez, look at the fucking dickheads after getting Kelly. Look.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing about it as well, even the most alpha male, right, even the most alpha male suddenly loses all power when it comes to something like that. Because if you're explaining it to somebody else, you know, other half maybe or whatever, and it was like, pap on me a drink, you know, as though you couldn't. In all of the parts of life, you'd say, no, not for me, I'm walking away. I know, you know, I know what I want, or whatever. But no, somebody buys you a drink, I couldn't. And then, I was nearly finished it, and then PJ walks in and he bought a round. And it's like,
and
as though
you know
you're it's like you're some defenceless creature.
As if you couldn't just go, sorry, I know you bought it, but I am leaving.
Yeah, so. Put that, you know, look, I'll get you one again because
I'm going to have to get you another time. But that's not what you do. You do what you're saying. And then you go, and so then you can't leave. I buy two lads back. That's another 2 points.
I had to buy it, I had to buy me round.
I only went for one. I had 9. I was trying to leave for 7 points.
And you're making yourself sound like a victim. I went down for one. And here I am, absolutely stoicious drunk.
I'm down there buying points for all them. I didn't even want. And now you're giving me shit for being out for 17 hours. Jesus, you can't win. You can't win.
Yeah, you see, that's what life does to you when you're just a nice guy. They always say that nice guy. I mean, and that's what happens. Yeah. I was just trying to be a nice person, and this is what.
And
this is the thanks
I
get. Unbelievable.
I won my eye. I got you a bag of chips on the way back. I ate them and all, but I did get them for you.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean.
Because I knew you didn't like the one. Though I put vinegar on them by accident, so I knew you wouldn't eat them. So I ate them. But that's not the fucking point, is it?
I ate your chips because I knew you'd be in a bad mood when I got here. That's why I did it. That's why I get your chips. You're like, yeah.
Wow.
The unreasonable expectations.
Yeah.
It's that's the thing. And the more something is planned, I don't care, the more you dread it coming.
Yeah.
And it could be anything. Nelson Mandela, Elvis could come back from the dead and throw a gig in Crow Park and someone say, I'll have ringside seats. Right, he's actually having a boxing match at the start. That's how big this event is. I've ringside seats for you, Jim.
Ringside seats. No, they had to put him in a boxing ring because he's struggling to stand up a bit. In fairness, he was dead for a lot of years.
Yeah.
But he's back now and he's
singing. He's actually says he's going to do a request from the front row. And Jim, he's taking your request for us.
Yeah.
He even said he'd do Killing Me Softly if you ask him. Right, he's doing it all. And you could be like, so mad to get a ticket, but I guarantee it doesn't matter who it is or what it is, the day you're supposed to go, you'll go, I can't. You'll say to someone, I can't believe this fucking thing on tonight now.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's like,
I wish it was yesterday. Oh yeah.
Realistically, you know the way you say there's a there's this thing about the Oasis, the idea that Oasis, this expectation, one day they will agree to do it, one day it will happen.
Yeah,
there will be the Oasis reunion tour and it'll be, it'll blow the socks off everything. It'll be huge, right? And I guarantee it, like, and we'll be on the radio and I'll be giving it the kind of
it's happening, unbelievable.
What a gig to be
back
at.
Together.
And it'll come along and will I buy a ticket? Probably not.
They'd be going
because it'll probably be, you know what I mean, you might only get one that's on a Friday.
But
I go out on a Friday.
But you know when you come up with excuses to try and make yourself feel better and then even when it turns out they're not true, it still doesn't matter. You go, ah, no, they'll be mad money. I've won here for 15 quid. Oh dear. Oh, yeah. It's probably a shite seat.
Yeah, probably stuck behind a pillar or something.
No, it's actually in the dressing room with the band. Oh, yeah. You wouldn't want to meet them. Never meet your heroes. And, you know, but they're not going to be there when the gig starts. You can go anywhere you want then. Ah, but I prefer to know where I'm sitting, you know.
Yeah.
The view.
Is there a taxi with that? What?
Yeah.
Is there a taxi with that ticket? What are you talking?
So you won't be able to go to the toilet
because you couldn't stay. The hotel's be mad money. You don't have to fucking stay. Just get a bus home.
There's a free hotel across the road. There's a man that's going to bring you to, I don't know. I feel a bit out of my comfort zone there now. I feel a bit posh for me or something. You know, you just... No matter what it is.
I have to say now, the whole, and I know people assume in this business, right, in the radio business, and probably in your, in your business or whatever for all through the years, just general entertainment, they assume that you're constantly being bombarded with free things, especially tickets for gigs, right?
Yeah, never.
That's not true.
Never,
no. That is not true.
Gigs that no one
but
can
you
sell.
But you know, there are times when it can happen. There are times when, you know, there's an opportunity to go to something. Or else they assume even if you're not getting it for free, you want to be there because supposedly music's your passion and everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I very, very rarely. No, if I'm going to a gig, it's normally because Yvonne's wanted to go.
Yeah.
I have to go because it's something to do with the job.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I'm struggling to think of the last time I went to a gig because I really wanted to see them.
There is no circumstance.
Yeah.
Like even when we
now
were...
you go one better in fairness to you. You buy tickets and don't go.
I don't
Whereas
go.
I just don't go.
I buy the ticket and then just before, is anyone looking for tickets? Please.
You're like the weirdest ticket tell ever because you buy them and you forget to sell them.
I forget to sell them on. Is that tonight? Oh my God.
I've left it late now, haven't I?
Does anyone want a free ticket that I start doing in the end? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I know.
Because you regularly now, even more than I do, you regularly sit there and, you know, an ad comes on for whoever, somebody's playing. You go, that'll be great. That'll be amazing.
Regularly, yeah.
Yeah. And even if it's at a level where I know you could probably well tap somebody up for a ticket and you go on about how great it would be and then, you know, just... just fades
that's,
away.
That was just yeah, idea.
I was only saying it while the ad was playing.
It's a fantasy. It's having a fantasy. Do you mind?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like,
you know what?
I wish I was the kind of person who liked going to gigs.
Yeah. Imagine that was real. Imagine I actually wanted that. I thought I wanted that for a minute there.
Yeah.
But it turns out I don't, you know.
And when you meet, and you know, obviously you have mates who are absolute gig goers, do you?
I do, yeah, a couple.
And they, of course, can't believe you don't want to be
well,
there.
Well, yeah, well, they just, like, what happens is they get talking and you know, they'll be in and they'll be telling you a story and then you become a distraction to the story. Is that ever happening? So, like, they'll be there going, oh, I was there and I walked in and I was there with Alan and Alan was on me right and we walked in and, you know, when you're at a gig and you're buzzing and he doesn't know, he fucking hates everything. But then you know what you know, when you're walking in and, you know... I get that dismissive thing, you know.
Yeah.
And you're walking in, you're thinking it's 15 quid a pint, but I don't even care because it's the night of a lifetime. You know that feeling? You don't know. You're always moaning about money. But yeah, but you know, that's who I am. I'm that guy.
You're the point of reference for all things that aren't enjoyable.
Yeah, exactly. And I bought a t-shirt with the band and the tour name on it and all. And I know he's thinking, you fucking idiot, you can get them for a fiver in town. But don't mind him. I was happy, you know. And that's what it is. So I said I walked in.
So you're literally the thing off which all else is judged.
Yeah, doing.
Like if you're ground zero for misery.
For misery, yeah.
And everybody
when it comes
around.
To public events, yeah. And I was walking up and I couldn't believe it. He leaned down on the stage, he handed me the microphone. And I was there, I got a chance to sing. Now I know he's thinking that you can't sing anyway. What are you sing for, you fucking idiot? But I was having the time of my life. I really liked it. I'm so glad he wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
It's like, I mean, one of the things that I get a lot of is the expression, you'd hate it, Jim.
You'd hate it. I hear that all the time.
Somebody is saying something that they've absolutely loved, they've enjoyed, or they'd recommend to anybody, and they tag it with, you'd hate it, you know, Jim.
Yeah, it wouldn't be for
because
you.
Because it could be anything.
Yeah.
Could be anything.
Yeah.
Could be like a bit of sort of, it's, you know, very public or it's very crowded or it's very something or it's very
it
whatever.
It wasn't in Roundwood. You'd hate it, Jim. Yeah. You had to park.
Yeah.
Oh,
and you had to get up and do something. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah,
no,
yeah,
you'd
yeah.
hate it, Jim, no, in fairness. Like, yeah. You know, not for you at all now. But.
Loads of people there that wanted to chat and all. You'd hate it, Jim. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
So you get that as well then? That's a relief.
I do. With public events like that, Like, I'm going to Pride on Saturday. Now, yeah. I'm going to love that because it's all my rules. I walk in when really, I want, I walk out when I want.
It's not really formal, that, though, is it?
No, that's the thing. There's no rules. Yeah. It's all my rules. I can turn up and go, yeah, pay in the hole and go home. Or I can turn up, enjoy it, and hang around. You know, I can get as far as O'Connell Bridge and go, maybe I just want...
I forgot my trousers.
Maybe I just want a coffee and a burger and a look at yous all walking off away from me.
Yeah.
You know, it's all my rules. So I love them things. Yeah. No, football.
You can literally be like that guy you told me about who'd had a few too many on board and was trying to cross the street.
Oh, that was amazing. He was trying to show support. That was the best part. Pride a few years ago now. And I remember we were thinking, Dublin is really, it's becoming forward thinking.
Yeah.
You know, because everyone's going with it. But some people are trying to be supportive, but they're still, you know, like your granddad.
Still slightly getting it wrong.
Yeah. And there was a lad with a bag of cans wearing a Pride flag like a cape walking around. And he was holding a can going, come on, the girls. Up the girls. Go on, the girls. Fair play. There's nothing wrong with it.
Brilliant. You know, brilliant.
Yeah.
Now, the fact he didn't know whether he was wearing a Pride flag, a Palestinian flag, something that fell off a promotion for Burger King.
Genuinely, he probably thought it was his jacket. Picked up the wrong thing when he was walking away.
So there. But so if all else fails, the motivation was right.
His intention was really good.
So if all else fails, you can literally rock up, go on, the guys, and go home.
Go on, the guys, It's like McDavid Savage used to say years ago. He goes, oh, you know, like you gay rights and all, it's great. You know, maybe there's all, they say we're all a bit gay. Maybe we are, you know, never. Maybe I just haven't met my perfect man yet. That's all. Now I hope I never do meet them. You know what I mean? But like, but you know, you're nearly support. You're very nearly there.
Absolutely. Right, well, whatever it is, hopefully you're going to enjoy it.
Well, that's me now on Saturday with a bag of milk. What do you guess?
Wearing somebody else's jacket and a Pride flag. Yeah. Anyway, listen, whatever you end up doing at the weekend, enjoy it. If you spot PJ, by the way, in somebody else's jacket and a Pride flag with a bag of cans.
Yeah. That's... Make sure and tell them they're doing their best.
Yeah, sure, be supportive to them. Yeah. Be kind.
Yeah, be kind, everybody. Be kind.
Whatever you end up doing, enjoy it. We'll get out of here and leave you in the capable hands of some of the best bits from during the week, will we?
Yeah, let's do that.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
If you think you know your music, right? Obviously, PJ there has, fessed up lots of times that, you know, musically...
I know my music. It's Glenn Medeiros' birthday today, for starters.
Exactly. Okay. But if you're, you know, serious into me, you probably, you have a bit of what would you call it? I suppose it's just a passing interest in the kind of, you know, trivia that goes around. Like, famously, for example, there's the story of Pete Best, the man that they got named the Fifth Beatle.
The Fifth Beatle, yeah.
The man who left the band, did he? Or was replaced by Ringo Starr in some capacity or whatever
was
it was.
Is that it? Yeah, yeah. Jeez, he must have been bad if Ringo replaced him.
And so that's not, that's kind of one of those just general, relatively common knowledge things, I would have said.
Yeah, but who's, well, now, is that where it stops? How many Beatles were there in reality?
Yeah.
Because...
Was the Fab Four really just the Fab Four?
No. It was the Fantastic... That doesn't work. The Spectacular Six, according to Rod Davis. Rod Davis, who now says he is the Sixth Beatle. The sixth Beatle. Rod Davis, he says he was a childhood friend of John Lennon and he turned down an offer to join the Beatles because he didn't like rock and roll. So the Sixth Beatle, just to be very specific here... Not that I want to nitpick, but the Sixth Beatle, Mr. Rod Davis, was never in the band.
Yes. He said no.
He was never in the band. I was never in the Beatles. Therefore, I am the Sixth Beatle.
Yeah.
This is his whole
thing.
But
because he was asked, maybe he was asked.
He was in the Quarrymen.
And had he have said yes, then maybe he'd have a claim.
Yeah.
But he said no. I don't want to be in your band.
He was never in the Beatles. He was in the Quarrymen, right?
Right.
And he was in the Quarrymen, which was the band before the Beatles. John's band before the Beatles, was it?
One of them.
Yeah. One of them, anyway. The Quarrymen was the origin band. And he said he bought a banjo to play in the Quarrymen way back then, right?
Wow. He certainly didn't like rock and roll.
Yeah. And he didn't really like the banjo either, because he never learned to play it.
Oh, brilliant.
But he had it on stage with him at a gig that the Quarrymen
were playing. So, hang on a second. So the man claiming to be the sixth Beatle.
Yes.
First of all, said, no, I don't want to be in your band.
Yes.
And secondly, couldn't play an instrument.
Yes.
What did you do in the Quarrymen?
Well, it wasn't a banjo.
He stood on stage with a banjo.
Yeah, and he strummed it and all. Now he says, because it's a piece of Beatles history, once again, because it's a piece of Beatles history, he's willing to sell the banjo reluctantly for like $5,000 is what he's looking for the banjo. So
only five?
Only $5,000 for a band. And once again, just to remind everyone how valuable this is a banjo that was never used by anyone that was in the Beatles.
Yeah, a banjo that literally has no association with the Beatles, but nonetheless.
This reeks of one
from
of those.
From a man who, again,
was never in the Beatles.
Never in the Beatles.
$5,000. A snip at $5,000. This is like those lads you meet in pubs and all, and they tell you, oh yeah, I was the best 9-year-old in trials for Liverpool in 1947. And I just didn't make the last round because I kicked a fella. I kicked a ball and hit a fella in the ear, and he was a bit of a teacher's pet, and I didn't get it. But yeah. I played for Liverpool. You didn't.
I'm sorry, but
never
it does.
Happened.
From your man's point of view, it's great that he was a friend of John Lennon. I'm sure that was, And in fairness, he was definitely a member of the Quarrymen, was he?
I don't know, man. I don't even know if he was
You're
really
starting
made
to question that. Yeah. But it does smack a little bit of every lad you meet in a boozer who's like, I could have been a contender, or I was, whatever.
Yeah.
And you just weren't.
I know.
Do you know what I mean?
Honestly, imagine a fella saying to you, here, come here, do you remember when Dublin won the All-Ireland, right? In 1983, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Well, I was nearly in that team because, bear with me, right?
Right.
Bobby Doyle, right? I was in his class in school and he asked me if I wanted to play football with him up in Vincent's at under 11s. I says, no.
Yeah.
But if I did do that,
I'd have probably been in that
All-Ireland
winning
side. And I could have won it in 1983. You don't suppose you want to buy a pair of football boots?
Yeah. It's like saying,
I still have them.
Yeah. I could have been in the commitments. Really? Yeah. I remember when the auditions were on. Oh, right. And did you go? No.
No, I didn't, no.
So you didn't go to the auditions?
No. Sure, I couldn't play an instrument. Right, so how were you nearly in it? Because I lived in Dublin at the time. I don't suppose you want to hear me sing.
I walk by.
Yeah, walk right by it. There was a big queue and all.
By the way, do you want the T-shirt? I have a T-shirt.
Do
you want to buy it?
Was it from the movie? No, I bought it on Halfpenny Bridge.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
We did say earlier on, we mentioned the fact that we played, I think it was Beat It, was it from, what did we play earlier on?
It was Beat It, yeah.
Was it Beat It?
It was Beat It.
And we were saying it was 15 years since Michael Jackson had passed, right? I think we actually played it more to do with the fact that Eddie Van Halen, who, did you know Eddie Van Halen went in for about 4 years ago?
Yeah.
We don't need to revisit that whole conversation.
Not at all, no. That was way...
Wow. But anyway, the Michael Jackson thing, 15 years seems like a long time or whatever. And then we came across this story that strangely is connected to us. Because you'll have known of, famously, you'll have known of his pet chimp.
His pet chimp, Bubbles. And Bubbles, we remember, was it like he treated him like a son and they lived together for a long time. Bubbles was a huge part of his image, he was on his album covers, I think, or he's in the album pictures and all of that, and they did press tours together and all that. Anyway, it didn't work out in the end. Bubbles wasn't suited to showbiz, and he retired from showbiz. And I'll be honest,
did he retire after? So no, he didn't kind of. He wasn't with Jackson till the end. No.
Well, this is it. I thought that happened too. I thought poor old Bubbles had had his day. Bubbles is not dead. Bubbles is alive and well. And this is great news for Jim McKay because he's lived the life Jim has aspired to live for so long. When Jim does retire from showbiz, there's a really... Let's hope we can get him into that where Bubbles is today.
That happened a long time ago. It's just I haven't stopped coming in.
Well, he's in a retirement home. A retirement
Bubbles.
Home. He is, yeah. The Centre for Great Apes in Florida. Have you... Jim, I wonder, can we get you an opening? And he's got so
There's a retirement home for great apes.
He's 41 years old. He's retired. He's in the retirement home.
He's got
home
to retire at 41. He is actually living my life.
He is. And he's very like you. He's 4.5 foot. he's living the high life. He's... He's doing exactly what Jim has always wanted to do.
Wow.
He's great activities, great friends. He likes to watch TV and he likes to play games. They say he's built himself a nest under a tree where he goes every day. Jim, this is literally perfect for you. When have you not said you would love a big nest under a tree?
I tell you.
He has his midday naps. He takes a daily midday nap around 1:30.
Yeah. That happens involuntarily in my case, but still.
There you go. Once you have your nest, you can nod on and off in and out as much as you want. He interacts very well with visitors. And while he does like listening to music, he doesn't like watching old videos and TV. It's behind him. He's moved on.
I do that as well. I never go back. I wouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
Of the many radio stations that I've worked for, I'd never go back to any of them. You know what I mean? Once I closed them down, I kind of moved on.
Yeah, yeah. Much like Bubbles. You like to slam the doors.
Yeah. Never go back.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is, there is an extraordinary thing. Like, he was associated, he was the sort of, the other half of a superstar. You know what I mean? He hung around with a superstar. And then, obviously, the superstar went and popped his clogs or whatever. And
that's
he just, you know, I mean, I do see the similarities.
And he was assumed dead, much like Jim. He was assumed dead years ago, but it never happened. He's still here.
You get way too much joy out of my passing. You really do, pal. You're going to be sorry one of these days.
I will be. Especially if you live 15 years longer than me. If I'm like Michael Jackson, what happens there? What happens if I'm out one night enjoying myself in my red leather jumpsuit and it all goes wrong?
Yeah.
And, you know, and then there's Jim McCabe, you know, living it up in his life.
Having found a good retirement home.
Living off the money that I probably left behind. You know?
Yeah. That's the one part that we haven't established is exactly what you're leaving to me when you do. Because you're the star here. You're the one that's going to burn out. Let's face it. You're the one that's going to go in a blaze of glory, right? And you know,
I'd say
I'll just have to pick up the money, sorry, ashes, and move on, and into a nice, you know, easy life.
Yeah,
away from the showbiz, you know, clamour that I've had to endure.
Yeah, you're right. And in fairness, all joking aside, I am the one who will probably have the premature end. That is true. You know, when it comes to motorbikes and illnesses, now, as much as I slag Jim off about it, I am probably the one who will have the premature end. I would be the more Michael Jackson-y in that element. You know, yeah. Jim can't have a premature end. It's gone beyond that already. But, you know.
Thank you. You're saying I've gone too far to die young.
I'm not even joking.
Wow, that is harsh, man.
I'm not even joking. You were hoovering up there the other day and I was having a chat with the rest of the staff here and we says, do you think it's time we rang someone? And we all says, no, well, let him do the hoovering first anyway. Gives him something to do. Since he built his nest in the car park, he really hasn't been the same.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
Whether you like it or not, whether it fills you with rage or whether it fills you with excitement, it's happening, people. It is happening. This Friday, Taylor Swift is in town.
It is happening. Three big nights in the Aviva on the way. It's all starting on Friday night.
We've spoken about this before, the phenomenon that is, right? And wherever she goes, right? So where was it? Liverpool set up at
the Swift Village,
like a little mini city. Or Edinburgh did something or whatever. It's not just a concert. It turns into just absolute mayhem. It's a circus beyond anything you can imagine. I know none of us can fully get our head around it. But it's just this huge, weird kind of, as I say, phenomenon.
It's a cult. It's an absolute cult. There's nothing like it.
And Ireland is no exception. We've gone down the same route.
Fáilte Ireland. The official tourist folks of Ireland.
Brilliantly said.
And that is
brilliantly said.
Probably on their website.
Yeah, I'd say it's on the end of every one of their posters.
Of Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fáilte Ireland have given us the Taylor Swift road trip. So Taylor Swift, of course, has been to Ireland before. She's been to a few different places. And if you would like to walk the same streets that Taylor Swift once did, grace the same areas, you can get your information right here.
So now we have a full
must
Ireland
visit places.
Official Taylor Swift road trip. So a tour, effectively.
Yeah, imagine being some sort of Philistine who turns up to the show not even having visited the spots that she visited previously. Imagine.
Right, hit me then. Come on. Where?
So, you know that she bought a lottery ticket in a pub in Leitrim or something.
Bought a lottery ticket.
A local GAA lotto ticket, I think it was, years ago in a pub. And we actually covered the story when she did it, which will show how mad we didn't know we were getting into then. We thought it was kind
Leitrim's
of a funny
on
thing.
It.
Oh, yeah, I think it was Leitrim. Anyway, it's the unimportant one. The county doesn't exist. But after that, she went to Wicklow, around your way.
No way.
Yeah.
Is there an opportunity for me to make a few quid?
Yeah, I doubt.
Can I claim any connection?
No, so you're still busy trying to bother Daniel Day-Lewis. Never mind poor old Taylor Swift.
And where was she in Wicklow?
She was in Powers Court Hotel and she was down at the Ladies' Cove and Greystones. You can walk in her footsteps, they say, and cherish the beauty of the Irish coastline. And think of Taylor Swift when you're down there. And then you can have a contemplative stroll around Powers Court with a coffee in hand. Who knows what poetic inspiration might hit you as you walk in the places that may be inspired. Maybe inspired Taylor Swift.
What was she doing in Powers Court? She wasn't having around a golf,
wandering
no.
Wandering around with a coffee.
Oh, she was probably in the gardens or something, wasn't
she? Probably,
it?
I'd say, right. Yeah. But then Dublin. People of Dublin. She stayed in Ranelagh. Who knew she stayed in Ranelagh? Nobody knew.
Stayed there?
In Dublin 6, ooh. Yeah. She stayed there in a place. In a place.
How long are we talking now? Are we talking overnight? Probably. Or are we talking like for a few weeks?
We don't even know.
Oh.
All we know is she was in a place there called the Coach House for a while. And it says, walk the same streets as Taylor as you take short breaks in Ranelagh. One of Dublin's coolest neighbourhoods. Take a stroll through the beautiful Dartmouth Square or visit Ranelagh Village Market. Maybe enjoy some dinner in the Butcher's Grill. Oh, God.
Did she do all of that?
Yeah. We have no idea what she did. We've no idea. What I will say is, fair play to Ranelagh. I have a new respect for the people of Ranelagh.
Yeah, wherever it is.
Wherever it is. No one knows where it is.
It's kind of like the demilitarised zone between Rathmines and Harold's Cross or something.
It's the Belgium of Dublin. It was created to keep two other areas apart.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
It's like, where is it? Like, where does it start and
nobody
finish?
Knows. Yeah. Nobody knows.
It's
no.
Just Ranelagh.
It's a pocket, yeah. It's a pocket. But I have to say,
you do drive through it, I grant you that.
But that's Ranelagh is always on the way to somewhere else.
Exactly.
You know. But I love Ranelagh people, I've decided. Docky. Matt Damon had a sack of cans walking around Docky once. Years ago. During COVID.
No, come on. He was stranded there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
In
COVID.
He
couldn't get out. Yeah. He couldn't get out. He didn't even want to be there. He was walking around years ago. And the people of Docky haven't shut up.
Excuse me. They never mention it.
They haven't shut up saying, we had him here, but we never said anything about it. We never mentioned anything about it. Nobody here said a word to him. He was here. Now, we don't go on about it, but nobody bothered him. It was unbelievable. You'd never know he was here. We literally couldn't stop saying how we didn't say anything about it the whole time.
Whereas
Taylor Swift was in Ranelagh, and we genuinely...
And the people of Ranelagh didn't know.
We genuinely knew nothing about it. They didn't. They genuinely didn't go on about it. So Ranelagh people, in fact, you never meet people from Ranelagh.
Well, that's the point I'm making.
Yeah.
You know, you go through Ranelagh on the way to somewhere, or you just, you know. And I mean, I know there's buildings there. I do real, unless it's all a big, you know, like you often say about Leitrim, like it's just a facade.
Yeah.
You mean that there's actually, they're just, that's a set.
Well, that's what you thought maybe, but here's the real deal. The real deal is there's loads of people from Ranelagh we meet. They literally just don't go on about it.
Yeah.
They just live their own lives.
As Derek pointed out, Ranelagh is a sort of a pop-up village.
Yeah.
Just beside Portobello. You know what I mean? It's a kind of a, like...
Yeah.
We're here, so... Yeah.
I know, but
it kind of feels like a place you go there to do something, like, you know, meet, or maybe, or, you know, all those places you mentioned.
I know, but, like, I have to say, credit to them. You always meet crusty hipsters from Portobello. You always meet students and all from Rathmines. You always meet, like, you know, fancy folk who like salmon suppers from Ratgar, but you never bump into Ranelagh people.
God, Ratgar.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another place now. I know it's existed for a long time. Very ill-defined. I wouldn't know where it starts or finishes or anything. But the beauty, I know what you're saying, though. The beauty of Ranelagh is that not only do Ranelagh people not go on about the fact that Taylor Swift was once there.
Yeah.
They don't even tell you that they're from
there. They
don't
even take. That's the whole point. They literally don't go on about it. Bare plate and they're just living their lives.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
One of the biggest music festivals of them all is Glastonbury.
Oh, yeah, and it's in swing. It's in swing. Yeah. It's up and running, yeah.
And, of course, it's always a big thing about, you know, who'll headline us. And generally speaking, I suppose, for most music festivals, obviously, the most important thing is the lineup. You do, you know, if people are making a choice as to whether they're going to go or not or which one they'll go to, it is going to be about the bands, generally speaking, that are on the lineup. Okay.
Yeah.
And obviously, but the bigger the festival, the more bands you need.
Well, that's it. You look at the Glastonbury lineup over the past few years and you'd know it's one of the only festivals, actually, when you get to a certain age, you look at the lineup and you go, oh, I do know loads of these people.
Yeah.
But there's some unusual names. Over the years, some bands have played there that maybe have names that we're not that familiar with. And
It's a big venue, obviously. There's a lot of different stages and all that sort of stuff. I get it. But so if you think you're somebody who's kind of like right on the, you know,
finger
you're
on
the zeitgeist of music at the moment. You know your music,
yeah,
man.
You know your music. You don't be going to the main stage with all the other lame squares. You wouldn't be hanging out with those lame.
Yeah. So these now, this is not a joke. These are genuine acts who are playing Glastonbury this
or
year,
have
is it?
Played or over have the last played. Couple of
okay,
years.
Right.
Yeah, these are real names of that of bands. So who maybe you saw them. Maybe you could tell us about what great acts that you saw. When you saw, like, the Formidable Vegetable Sound System. Wow, what a band.
The Formidable Vegetable Sound System.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that's a superb band name.
They don't even do music, man. They just turn pots upside down and they bash them with wooden spoons. It's a sort of a signature piece.
And that's real.
That's real. That's a real name of a band. The Fat White Family also played, which is a sort of, I imagine, a different genre of music. Not too up on Fat White
Family. I'm amazed you get away with even calling a band that.
Yeah, me
Fat
too.
Fat White Family.
Yeah, yeah. Now, they were on the same year as the Blackbeards Tea Party, so that's sort of, you'd have to think maybe there was a sort of a double act or a double bill, a double header on that one.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. Three Daft Monkeys played a few years ago as well. They're currently down to, they're actually called Two Daft Monkeys now since Jim left.
Three Daft Monkeys,
yeah. Yeah,
I mean, I suppose naming a band was always a weird thing anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was always kind of...
It is, but
I don't know how many of them have meanings, but still...
No, you're right, but sometimes there is it reeks of a lack of effort. Like when the Rusty Shackle were there, you must have thought, that it could have been anything. Surely. Surely with the five of you sitting around.
You could have thought of something better
when
than
Kevin
what we call ourselves.
Says the Rusty Shackle, I have it. You would have said, Latin, man, surely one of you would have said, you know, we can't play... How are we supposed to play next to Hong Kong Ping Pong with a name like Rusty Shackle?
Hong Kong Ping Pong was a real one as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's a real one. Yeah, yeah.
Hong Kong Ping Pong.
Yeah.
I mean, so there was a time when maybe the name of a band might imply the kind of music that they were going to play, you know? There might be a country vibe or a heavy metal vibe or a whatever off the name.
Well,
very hard to tell with these.
Well, I think you're onto something, actually. Because some of them do imply, just like you said, so a fella called Brushy One String played. And he definitely is... Brushy One String, in fairness, he kind of lets you know.
Wow.
This is going to
the
be a simple acoustic.
Man. Yeah, it sounds like a lad who's sitting there with one tooth, a very shaggy beard. Brushy One String was the name.
Brushy One String and Tankus the Henge. They were in the same area.
Who?
Yeah.
Tankus the Henge.
Tankus the Henge, yeah, yeah. I mean, he's no Brushy One String, but he definitely... gives it everything he's got. And never, don't forget, for
God's
sake.
Can't wait to see Brushy One String in action.
Oh, yeah,
That could be anything. That could be a...
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, it could be anything, yeah. But so could also be Eyes for Gertrude and Bip Bop Bobbity Boop. Not to forget Herbie Treehead and the Smoke Eaters. They're all there. It's the place to be. You want to see these.
Glastonbury gets quite the lineups, doesn't it?
It really
They're
does.
They're all legitimate bands. Were you ever in a band?
I was in the band.
Do you ever have any weird names?
Black Rain is a bit cringe when I think of it now.
Yeah.
I'm bored.
Yeah, I was in a band called The Enigma.
The Enigma.
Which sounds the most pretentious band you've ever been
pretentious,
in.
Pretentious, yes. But as pretentious as Philosophy Haircuts, I don't think so.
Is that a real one as well?
That's a real one.
I don't think so,
yeah.
Philosophy Haircuts.
Philosophy Haircuts, yeah. They're there in the sort of psychedelic tents with undercover hippie and the lonely schizophrenic.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.